Julie Lithcott-Hames, in her book, How to Raise an Adult, tells this story on page 110. She writes, "In 2005, a young man named Richard graduated from an Ivy League college and 2 years out of college was on the fast track at a prestigious New York investment bank. He made $250,000 annually. It was right before the 2008 crash and worked extremely long hours. Richard's mother, Jan, thought to herself that, pay aside, Richard was being worked too hard. So Jan did something sleuthing, which means she did some investigative work. And she found the fairly well-concealed landline number for Richard's boss and called him up on the weekend to complain. The boss was polite, but was seething inside," she writes. "When Richard came to work on Monday, instead of being permitted to enter the bank of elevators that soar to the skyscraper's top, the security guard handed him a cardboard box containing the personal items from his desk. On top of the box was the note, 'Ask your mother.'" So Jan made a mistake trying to support her adult son. Have you ever made a parenting mistake? I've made plenty of them, countless times. Come on, don't be bashful. If you're a parent and you've made a parenting mistake, let me see your hands. If you don't put your hands up, I'm going, oh, two hands, right? Yep. We all make parenting mistakes. Every parent makes bad decisions. And so I want to tell you right from the beginning, friend, stop kicking yourself. Stop kicking yourself. I am well aware that some of you live in a constant state of guilt over the mistakes that you've made and the sins that you've committed in your parenting. And Jesus Christ covers every parenting sin you've ever made. And the grace of Jesus Christ is more than enough to overcome the mistakes. You do not help your children by kicking yourself for your parenting sins. You do not atone or cover your parenting sins by punishing yourself. In fact, by living in guilt for your parenting blunders and trying to atone for your past sins, you tell your kids and everyone else who is watching that the blood of Jesus Christ is not enough for the sins that we make as a parent. And praise God, the blood of Jesus Christ is more than enough. More than enough. Parenting is hard. It's hard to know what to do. It's hard to know when to do it. I'll never forget leaving St. John's Hospital, just a little outside of St. Paul, Minnesota. It was May 2001, and Corby had just performed the incredible feat of delivering our firstborn son. I had recently turned 24. Corby was 25, and I can remember very vividly as we were packing the things, getting ready to go, I had this moment of disbelief. They're not going to let me leave with this baby, are they? Surely they know I don't know what I'm doing. Where is this instruction manual with this little guy? I was just overwhelmed by how unprepared and how ill-equipped I felt. I still feel that way sometimes. Unprepared. Ill-equipped. The question was asked of me, how can I best support my adult children? Like I know, right? I don't know. I've never raised a child into adulthood. I do not have success stories to share with you. But I do want to say this church is filled with parents of adult children who can offer you, if this is a particularly important question for you, advice and wisdom. We have godly moms, godly dads, who've walked with their 20-somethings, their 30-somethings, and beyond, and they can encourage you and give you advice concerning the challenges of supporting adult children. So I want to give you this challenge. I want to give you this challenge. If you're looking for some wisdom in parenting, however old your children may be, find a couple who's been there. Find a couple whom you admire and ask for some advice. Humble yourselves and say, how did you do it? And what seemed to pay off? And What worked and didn't work? What would you do differently? And then, more often than not, my brothers and sisters, take the advice. It's one thing to ask for advice. It's another thing to take advice. A humble man, a humble woman will often take the advice of other godly people. So I don't have the experience, but I do have God's word, which you have as well, which I know you come here to hear on Sunday mornings. And so that's what I want to encourage you with, God's word, not my experience, but with the word of the Lord. And at the end of the sermon, I will remind us all about a few things that we should be doing to help our children. I say remind because they're not going to be terribly new to you. God has led me as I've studied his word and I've prayed over the question and I've thought even about my own parenting, that there is this one big overarching word of encouragement and instruction from the scriptures that I do believe will help you and I support adult children if we're there or when we get there. And if you are parents of minor children, don't check out, because the word that God has for you gives you a bullseye to aim for as you keep raising your minor children in the Lord. Now, to begin, I think it's really important to go back and remind ourselves of good biblical theology concerning the structure of the home and the nature of the parent-child relationship. I won't have time to go in depth with the details this morning, and so if you're left scratching your head after this morning's sermon and would like to talk more, I'd love to share with you why I believe the structure of the home and the nature of the parent-child relationship is as I'm about to share with you. But so I'm just going to kind of gloss over it here this morning. The scriptures are clear that a man and his wife are to multiply and fill the earth if God would be so kind to permit them to do so. The act of procreation is an amazing gift and responsibility that God has given to couples, and God absolutely holds them accountable for how they raise, support, teach, and empower their children. This parenting task requires incredible sacrifice, like little else does. And because of this high calling, this high responsibility, and the sacrifice that it requires, children then are given this mandate from the Lord to honor and respect and to obey their mother and their father. We see that in the Old Testament and in the New. Exodus chapter 20, for example, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Also in the New Testament, Colossians 3, children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. A husband and a wife, a single mom or a single dad, they are entrusted by God with the function and management of a household. And so dependents who live in that household, dependent children in particular, are to respect that calling that God has given them and obey the authority that has been entrusted to their mother and their father. And so I just want to say, children who live at home right now, we'll talk about children who don't live at home because there's a difference in calling, obey and respect your mom and dad. That is God's command for you. But then something happens. A child matures more and more so as not to need the care, instruction, and protection of his parents. This happens little by little over the course of many years, right? Culminating at a time when he becomes his own man or she becomes her own woman. This child now is an adult. And by definition, becoming adult means assuming adult responsibilities. Responsibilities for one's own home and one's own job, one's own car, or own clothing, or own health care, own pets, own bills, own bosses to navigate with and deal with. On and on, right? Many, many of them. In many cases, adult children find a spouse of their own, and they have children of their own. And so here's what takes place, my brothers and sisters. When a child progresses into adulthood, a new household is formed. A new household is formed, and now responsible, not to mom and dad, to the Lord. To the Lord. Whether that's a single young man or woman renting an apartment or purchasing her first home, or if it's a young couple beginning their married life together and maybe children soon to follow, these adult children now become responsible to God themselves in how they establish their home. It's not that they don't need their mom and dad anymore. They obviously still do. Though I would say they need the family of God more. That might be a controversial thing for some of you. That adult children need the church more than they need their parents. I think I could support that. But the help that they get from their parents now is different. The help that they get is no longer as a dependent, obedient child, but now as a fellow adult responsible to the Lord. That's one of the big challenges of parenting, isn't it? Slowly letting go, slowly helping children become more and more independent while they still live at home and are dependent on mom and dad. That's hard. How do you raise and encourage a level of independence so that they can become and grow into successful adults, but also yet still while they're living at home dependent on mom and dad? I can remember very vividly watching my boys learn how to tie their shoes or cut their own meat for the first time. And there was a part of me that just wanted to do it for them. I can do it better. You're taking too long. You're not doing it right. Were thoughts that would run through my mind. But friends, cooking food and earning their own money and learning to wash their own clothes and cleaning their own toilets, negotiating their own busy schedules with teachers and coaches and bosses, resolving their own conflict with other people, and the millions of other challenges that they face are things children need to learn how to do on their own. And parents guide and teach and instruct, but eventually they must discern when to step back and let their children assume these responsibilities before the Lord. It's hard to do sometimes. Every child is different. Circumstances are different. And for some, letting go is hard, not because the child isn't ready, but the parent isn't ready. Now, why is it important to talk about these things? Here's why. Because God, friends, has different expectations for children and adults. Now, that might not sound earth-shattering, but it seems that when families try to implement that reality in their home, those expectations aren't always noticed or applied appropriately. God expects different things from children than He does from adults. And if we don't know the differences in God's expectation between children and adults, then you cannot support and encourage your children when they press through childhood into adulthood in an appropriate way. I think there's a level of truth in the generality. I'm going to say a generality right now, but I think it's very true. So it's not completely right, but it's almost right. Can I say it that way? Children who live at home, meaning children maybe elementary age, junior high, senior high, children who live at home, minor children in the Lord, God does not expect much more of you than obeying your mom and dad. Like, really? You get that right, you are doing really well when it comes to living up to God's expectations for you. Then, of course, what does that tell you, mom and dad? It should tell you the task and responsibility of raising your child well. If their main job is to obey God by obeying you, then you better have your ducks in a row leading them and giving them the commands that they need to know and have. Very important. But God has more expectations for adults. And that means when your child progresses through childhood into adulthood, God's expectations for them change. I want to talk about some of those changing expectations from a passage in 1 Thessalonians. So grab a Bible and turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. If you don't have a Bible, there's pew Bibles around you. And the page number for those pew Bibles is on the screen. We're going to read just a few short verses from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Paul in this chapter begins by giving some instructions to this church in Thessalonica on how these Christians should please God. He says in verse 1 that they should walk and please God more and more. And then he tells these Christians how they should do that. He starts by telling them that they should live pure in their sexual lives. After that, he moves into talking about how they should be regarding one another with brotherly love and affection within the body of Christ. And then in the very next breath, he moves into sharing some expectations for these people in public, what their public lives should look like. And so let's get a running start there in the middle of verse 10 and finish this section through verse 12. Paul says, "But we urge you, brothers, to do this more and more," meaning we want you to keep having brotherly love for one another, "and to aspire to live quietly and to mind your own affairs and to work with your hands as we instructed you so that you may walk properly before outsiders and be dependent on no one." Did you see those expectations in those last two verses? Aspire to live quietly. Mind your own business. That's what, mind your own affairs. Mind your own business. Work with your hands. Meaning, get busy with your bodies and do hard work so as to make a living. Now, how do we know that? How do we know that's what he means and not just pick up a hobby of woodcrafting, for example? Well, if you keep on reading. Okay. Work in such a way where you're dependent on no one. And when you do so, you are walking properly before outsiders. So notice the command that God has for his people in relationship to their public persona. Mind your own business. Aspire to live quietly. Work with your hands. Be busy in such a way where you're not dependent on anyone, and when you do that, you're walking properly before outsiders. Now let me say something very briefly about work and welfare, because it's going to preface what I'm going to say here in just a minute. Followers of Jesus should be the happiest of people to help others in need. We know what it's like to be in need. We know what it's like to be poor. And we needed the riches of God's grace to be showered upon us. And because of that, we should be ready and eager to find ways and systems and solutions to help people whose hands don't work well to make a living for themselves. We should be ready to do that. Followers of Jesus should also not be bashful in asking for help if their hands don't work. What has the gospel taught us? The gospel has taught us to humble ourselves and ask for help when we need it with gratitude in our hearts to God. Finally, though, followers of Jesus should also be the hardest working bunch on the planet. If it is possible for followers of Jesus to use their own hands and feet and minds and mouths to earn their own living, they should do all in their power to make that a reality so that they are not dependent on anyone. For no other reason, because we're given this command in 1 Thessalonians 4, though I can give you other reasons as well. Not because, friends, there is shame in being dependent on someone. If God has decided to limit you and your effectiveness with your hands so that you cannot earn your own a living, but yes, because there is great shame to be dependent on another when God has given you hands and feet and minds and mouths that work just fine, but you're unwilling to use them. I really think that we have to come to grips with this. So young people, thinking about your careers moving forward, maybe parents, those of you here who are thinking about your adult children or soon-to-be adult children and what you hope their future life might look like and the jobs and careers they might have, please hear this. God has not promised you your dream job. And God has not promised you your dream compensation or benefit plan. God has not promised you those things. What God has promised to do is he has promised to provide you every need you have as you seek first the kingdom of God. And he principally does that. Meaning he does this for most people this way, by giving you hands and feet and minds and mouths that work in such a way to earn a living. That's what God has done. There is no shame whatsoever if you pay your bills and cover your expenses and take care of your dependents in what the world might consider or call demeaning or insignificant work. Don't listen to what the world says. The word of God says that anything you do as unto the Lord, you are serving the Lord Christ, and you are honoring him with that word. And you are taking care of the responsibilities that God has given to you so as to not be dependent on anyone, and you are obeying 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. There is no shame in that at all. But there is shame in refusing to take a job, maybe because you don't like it, or because it conflicts with your hobbies, and remaining then thusly dependent on others. Even unbelievers know that they must work hard, pay their bills, and provide for the dependents. How much more then should followers of Jesus do the same? Now, why am I talking about this? Because parents, I really believe one of the best ways the Word of God is telling us that we can support our adult children and then also teach our younger children is to encourage them and expect them to step into these godly expectations so as to live properly before outsiders and giving glory to God by their hard work. I think that adult children are hurt when they are shielded from assuming the godly responsibilities that adulthood brings. When parents treat adult children like they are prepubescent children, needy and unable to do things for themselves with the hands that God has given them, friends, we shield them from the very responsibilities that God has given them and robbing them of the opportunity to glorify God and represent him well in a lost world. Now, really, friends, I think that even from a practical point of view, think of some of this. Sadly, some of you have had the horror of watching your children pass from this life into the next. But that's not the case for most of us. And what I mean by that is, for most of us, our children will be saying goodbye to us when we are taking our last breath. And then at that point, guess what? They got to do it on their own. Independent of fatherly and motherly influence. And if they are unable or unwilling to do that which even unbelieving people know to do, take care of their responsibilities and being dependent on no one, God will hold them accountable, and friends, God will hold us accountable for the how we parent. And so all children, young or old, must learn to manage life on their own with the help of God's grace, of course. And here's the great news to this. God made them to do that. God made children to grow up, learn new skills, and then implement them to the glory of God. Like, God isn't expecting children to do something that he didn't make them ready to do. And so that should give us peace and hope for the work of parenting, getting them ready to assume responsibility. Sticking with this practical theme, failing to allow our children to grow into responsibility by overparenting or hovering can also cause psychological damage to our children. Research has been done by a Dr. Madeline Levine. She's a psychologist and a researcher who spent most of her life studying the effects of parenting on children. And she sees a direct correlation between the psychological struggles of anxiety and worry, depression, to overparenting. She says this, that when we do for our kids what they can already do for themselves, when we do for our kids what they can almost do for themselves, and when our parenting behavior is motivated by our own ego, we can damage the psychological well-being for our children. Now, how does that work? How does that work? Well, here's how. When we intervene in our children's lives and guard them and keep them from managing the problems and issues of the world that they can or they can almost handle themselves, we are teaching them these things. You can't handle this. You can't do this without me. You're going to make an irredeemable mistake. We're teaching them, you can't do this without my help. And if I could add a Christian component to that, we're also saying, God hasn't equipped you to manage this with his help. And so consequently then, what happens is when our children face problems and challenges that require resourcefulness or problem-solving skills or conflict management or resilience, they don't have them. They don't have those resources, and then they buckle under the weight of the challenges. That motivates me as a parent to want to teach life skills in such a way that my kids are ready and prepared to manage the challenges that will be facing them. Because friends, I'm not guaranteed 65 years or 70 or 75 or 80 years and my kids growing old with me. I'm not guaranteed that. I could be gone tomorrow. So I want to do all that I can to get them ready so that they can do this on their own with the Lord's help. Now, what does that mean then? What should we be doing to support our adult children practically if we apply these things? Let me give you some ideas. They're rather simple. They come straight from the application here of what we're teaching today. First, don't do for them what they can do for themselves. Don't do for them what they can do for themselves, whether they're 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, and beyond. Don't do for them what they can do for themselves. Don't pay their bills when they can pay their own bills. Don't make their appointments with the doctor if they can make their own appointments. Don't wash their clothes when they can wash their own clothes. Don't do for them what they can do for themselves. And keep them dependent on you. That's the key part to this. I've been thinking a lot about this week because of the question, my own parenting, God's Word, talking about with Pastor Tim, others. And so I thought about this more. You know, my mom gives me gifts. She'll do nice things for me or give me a nice present. Should she not do that? Well, no, I don't think so. So here's the distinction. There's a big difference between a parent giving a gift to a child versus parents staying involved in a child's life in such a way where the child remains dependent on their help. That's different. My mother doesn't give me gifts in such a way where I'm dependent on her. She gives me gifts just because she loves me, you know? But not to keep me dependent on her, or not so as to make me dependent on her. Secondly, then, if your child can almost do something or should be able to do something, don't just do it for them. Instead, teach them to do it and then back off. Teaching them the life skills that they need. This Julie Lithcott-Hames, she has this very simple formula about how to teach life skills. Here it is. It's going to be on the screen for you again. She puts it this way. First, we do it for the child. Then we do it with the child. After that, we watch the child do it. And then finally, they do it on their own, completely independent of us. Meaning we're not in the room, looking over their shoulder, telling them how they could do it better, right? That's what that means. Completely independent of us, they're doing it. You know, what I find interesting about this very simple formula is that it works regardless of age. You can sit down and apply something like this with your 5-year-old trying to learn how to tie his shoe, or you can apply this with your 20-year-old child trying to figure out how to do their taxes for the first time. You do it for them, you do it together, then you watch them do it, and then your hands are off and you let them do it. You let them do it. Now that takes a level of discipline and intentionality. Now, have you ever said, it's easier for me just to do it? Yeah, it sometimes is. But it doesn't serve the goal. It doesn't serve the goal. Train them well, then let them be. But if we stay hovering and interfering, helping our children, They do not learn the life skills that they need. They must learn how to manage this conflict, relationships, money on their own. That means they must do it on their own. Yes, with the help of God and with the prayers of parents, but, and here's the key, here's another key sentence, friends, but without the ongoing motherly or fatherly influence that keeps kids dependent on parents rather than dependent on the Lord. That's really key. When you think about your parenting, ask yourself, is this helping my child become dependent on God, or does it keep them dependent on me? And that will give you a very good clue as to what you should be doing or doing differently in the help of your adult children in particular. Now, I know that sometimes there are special circumstances or disabilities that require us to parent and to be more involved maybe than we were planning to be or wanting to be. Physical or mental disabilities, drug use, pregnancy, depression are just some examples of some of the significant challenges where parents might rightfully help and intervene more than what maybe they were planning to do. What I would want to say is, though it's right to help, it's still also right to keep this goal in mind. Helping parent our children in such a way where they can live into the responsibilities that God has given to them in spite of the challenges. In spite of the challenges. Because it's still possible in many occasions, in many situations. With God's grace, you can make it as a single mom or a single dad. And we parents are going to help you do that. Depression is not a life sentence to remaining tethered to mom and dad's influence. God has provided us help to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And yes, there are excruciating decisions that need to be made to make that happen. But with God's grace, it's possible. Addiction can be overcome by the Spirit's help, and sobriety achieved without the regular dependence on parents. And there are many disabled individuals that have learned to live free from parental dependence because they've learned the life skills and they're in a network of relationships that help and support them. Now, we as the body of Christ need to be ready to show patience and encouragement to families that are dealing with these difficult realities and encouraging the ways of the Lord. Now, just in closing, I want to encourage you just in a couple things, all you parents out there. First, I want to ask you to trust God in such a way where you would give space to your children to assume responsibility. If your child is 8, for example, and they're struggling with friends on the playground, don't try to fix the problem. You know, by finding that kid and wringing his neck who's causing the trouble, don't do that. No, teach this child to trust in the Lord. And then apply skills in their life to manage these situations. Don't be like Jan, right? At the beginning of her sermon. Call your child's boss or supervisor or professor and play lawyer for them. That won't help them. Teach them what it looks like to be a godly person and manage those responsibilities accordingly. And secondly, pray. Right? Pray like you've never prayed before. That's what parenting has taught me, that I need God a whole lot more than I thought I did. And Elijah, friends, was a man just like you, normal. And he prayed, and it didn't rain for 3.5 years. What mountains might be moved in your children's life if you would pray fervently and faithfully to him? There's so much more, obviously, that could be said and should be said, and as I inferred earlier, I'm not the expert at this. Talk to the godly brothers and sisters that you go to church with here and get some of that parenting advice. But at the same time, let's look at 1 Thessalonians 4, all of us, and say, I want to live properly before outsiders in such a way that I handle the responsibilities that God has given to me, and using that as an opportunity to showcase the goodness and greatness of our God. That's the word that we have this morning. Would you please stand as we close in prayer?